It's my Shark Week.
Isn't it actually Shark Week?
Yep.
Welcome to Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast for your dose of dish.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to another episode of Gay Talk 2.0, an LGBT podcast streaming live on Digital Stream Radio, where you can listen live every Monday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and you can do so by visiting digitalstreamradio.com. My name is Tom, and as always, I'm here with my friends, starting with the first one.
Hey, y'all, Nick or Trish.
And good to be with you guys. It's Chris.
And welcome you all to
The Dish. You didn't.
I was so nervous. It's like clearing my throat and everything. They all didn't help last week, but
he didn't crack. I'm That's proud right. of you. That's right. So what's going on, boys? How are you?
I'm broken.
She's always broken.
Oh no, you're always broken.
No, I am broken today.
No.
I'm just like
no. You're generally broken on Monday. Today I am broken.
So we'll jump right into our weekends because Nick's got a funny story as to why he's broken and why he feels that he's like he can't literally move today. So Nick, why don't you tell us, how was your weekend?
I had a great time. I went to a pool party, an annual pool party.
A poop party?
A poop party. Poo. All right, okay.
Do
tell.
We were just having a good time and swimming, and they have like this area in the pool where you can kind of just wade, you know, where you would like put a chair and relax. And someone thought it was a good idea to pretty much jump me from the back.
That sounds like a fantastic idea.
Until they land on your neck and punch you in the face.
That got so much better. Yay, that person.
So, like, for the past 2 days, I, like, can't move my neck. My body is completely sore, and I have a scratch above my eye that I had to, like, cover up today before I went to work.
Clearly.
And, like, added extra because it's, like, a little black and blue. And I'm like, I got beat up at a fucking pool party.
Gay bashed by a bunch of gays.
I mean, overall, it was an amazing time. I had a really good time. But, like, I literally, when I say that I feel like I would be terrible in any type of fight.
Yeah.
I now know why.
Well, but, I mean, I think you could probably throw down and you'd be good. I think you'd be
amazing. Until the next day.
I feel like if you just looked at your attacker and just let out your mammoth screech, that would, one, either make him flee, have him burst into flames, or just
that?
Blow nope. apart. It's called
people.
Chemistry.
That was just me having my Mariah Carey.
That's
moment.
Right. The end. Oh. I'm pretty sure that listener don't listen no more.
No,
anyway.
I know. My high note. You know. Yeah, no, it didn't work.
That anyway. Sounded more like Mariah.
God. Anyway, so continue.
I mean,
oh, that was it?
What is happening? Your eyelid is like...
It's stuck. I know.
There. What was that?
That's usually a me thing.
I've never seen that
before.
Trish
is broken. I'm defective. They recalled me like 28 years ago, and I'm 27.
And you're still running around.
I was like, what is going on with his eye right now? This looks like some robotic shit. So,
the first mini stroke here on Gay Talk.
No. It's just anytime I rub my eye and I push it up, it gets stuck. And so it just looks weird. Yeah, it happens. Anyway,
it happened, yes.
So you got beat up in a pool party. Yeah. Now you're all hurt and stuff.
Uh-huh.
She came here. She literally laid down in my lounger out in the back. She's like, I'm not moving.
I can't.
She does that every week. She's like, I can't do this week. Like, you've been saying that since 2 years before we started the show. You knew before it was even summed up that you just couldn't.
Yeah.
Oh, it just hurts. My body hurts.
Well, you have a nice glow. So nice tan.
Or burn.
Yeah.
But yeah.
It's not bad, though. You don't look like...
Oh, my God. It was so funny. So I was like, hey, so-and-so, do you have any aloe by chance? Like, because I was so burnt by the end of the night.
Yeah.
And he comes out with 15 SPF. He's like, it's like lotion, too. And I'm like, no,
right?
It's
exactly.
Not. But so I put that on. I'm not peeling yet, but I'm sure it'll come. So.
Well, that's a good sign.
But it looks authentic. Mr. President, if you're listening, all you have to do is sit out in a pool and get beat up.
Yeah.
That's
literally.
It. Yeah.
And then you won't be orange.
Exactly.
So, Christopher, how are you? How was your weekend?
Exhausting.
Tell us why.
Well, I just, like, this
got beat up.
No. Well, I mean, yes, I got my ass kicked all weekend long just working at the restaurant. But before I went to work on Sunday, I went to see my friend Patrick play softball. And I was such a good soccer dad. I showed up with orange slices for the team. And I was a good cheerleader. And it was a lot of fun. And York Street was killing it. York Street's softball team is nasty. like making double plays. But Ricky, I don't remember if you ever met Ricky. He used to work with me at the restaurant. He's an awesome guy. I want to have him on the show. He's intelligent. He served in the military. He's incredibly accepting and loving. But he almost nailed someone in the head as they were like getting onto second base. I literally was just like, like I thought I was about to see like
wow
blood. But I was good. But it was fun, and I was being a good soccer dad. I want to. I can't wait to make a sign for the next time I show up and be like, Team York Street, eh?
So as, that as long as it's not like the signs, oh like, God. You know, like, fuck her.
No, and, no, no, yeah. no. Applesauce, though.
Applesauce,
applesauce
yeah,
would be
that.
There, yes.
Yeah, for sure.
And I showed up in my one of my Canadian shirts, the baseball one, of to show who did. I was, actually, you know, there to support, of course.
Of course you did.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, so that was fun. Yeah. And then I went to work and got my ass kicked.
Can we talk about big dick energy?
Oh, my God, yes. I totally wanted to talk about that. First off, I had never heard that expression before. Oh.
Big dick energy.
I have literally, never heard it.
Literally, so, I've heard it so many times.
And I just found out it's a thing. Because apparently one of my coworkers, when he saw that, he was like, my best friend says that all the time. I was like, okay. So I'm working on the patio at work, and I'm taking care of these five straight girls. They're super pretty. I'm having a blast with them, making them laugh. They're making me laugh. So one of them even like saved me some scallops, and she's like, you can have these. And I was like, oh, thanks. But I didn't eat them. You know, stranger.
No, but, you ate them.
No, I didn't. Okay, maybe. I was like, if anything happens, it's worth it. So I split their checks up five ways because I'm nice like that.
Five ways.
Yes. Well, they did it like evenly, you know, to split it five. So I was like, yeah, that's no problem. So I open up the book and I'm like, oh my God. The first ticket said, please marry me with a heart. And then the second one said, big dick energy. And I was blown the fuck away, going around to all the employees, showing all the cooks. I'm like, look what these people wrote on my check. I was like, I still got it with the ladies. Everyone's like, they're barking up the wrong tree.
So one of them literally wrote on the check, big dick energy?
Big dick energy.
And what does it mean?
I don't know. Like,
it just means like you're a boss.
I'm full of energy. And
like you're like running around the place like you have a big dick.
For example, so this
week. But usually people with big dicks run around like that are cocky. I'm not cocky. I was just like confident.
But it's amazing.
Yeah, it was funny.
Big dick energy.
Big dick energy.
Yeah, so hashtag BDE.
Somebody That's right.
Somebody gave me a Rolex this weekend. They were like, doesn't that give you hashtag BDE? And I'm like, not really. But
oh, I thought you just made that up.
They gave you a Rolex?
I mean, to put on and wear, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Not keep.
I was like, who is this?
Anyway.
I was going to say, what?
Steve okay. who? Give me the details.
Oh. Actually, it wasn't a Steve. Oh, it was a Dominican.
Oh. Okay.
Stefan?
No.
No.
Esteban. Sorry, that's it.
I cannot. Well, that's cool.
All right, what about you? What'd you do?
I worked Friday. Let's see, Friday I went, we were hanging out here, right?
Mm-hmm.
We were here. We hung out Friday. We did some stuff for one of my bosses.
Oh, should I check my spam folder for the email, the invite?
No, we didn't send you one.
No, oh. it was business.
Oh.
It was for my boss. He needed to come over and work on his website. But anyway, so I did that. And then then after you guys left, I went out and for karaoke and I met this this woman. She's a lesbian woman and she was hanging out with some girlfriends. And she literally looked at me and I was singing karaoke. And when I sat down, she came over to me. She goes like, I want to have your baby.
Oh.
And I'm like, huh?
I'm going to put that on pause.
Mm. What?
She got some big snatch energy, that girl.
Oh,
she's going right for it.
So, and I said, well, what do you mean? She goes like, you have a beautiful voice and you're very artistic and you're very beautiful. I said, yeah, from the face up, I think. And then she goes, no, you're just overall, it's like your energy. And I really, truly want to have a baby. And I think you should be my sperm donor. And I'm like, I am not going through a Nick moment. I can't do this. I got to walk away. And but no, we ended up hanging out all night. She was sweet. And her name was Hannah. She's from Hawaii. And she's super sweet. We had a good time. And then
her name is Hannah?
Yeah.
All right. Well, Hannah, if you're listening, he sweats like a pig. She's super aggressive and holds a damn fucking grudge. So that sounds like a star child.
Yeah, but that's also
no, we love you, though.
And
don't include me in what you were just saying. We love you.
Trish and I were talking about that earlier.
So, but no, in Hawaii, her name would be Hanana, right? But it's Hannah in here in the mainland. And no, and then Saturday I worked. Sunday we did karaoke. Trish was there, not there because mm-hmm. she was away. And today we're here. We're doing the show and having a good time. And I did find out some interesting things. So I wanted to just sort of kind of point it out. If you guys are not aware of or heard of yet, Equifax had a major breach in 2016.
Right.
There was a class action lawsuit that was filed on behalf of four or five plaintiffs, which then became gained class action status, which then allows the public to check and see if you were affected by this breach. And if you were, you could qualify for up to $125 in lieu of,
their lack of security.
Their lack of security and in lieu of being them providing you some sort of like web credit monitoring service. And so obviously if you spent much more money as far as like trying to correct issues as a result of that breach, then you can obviously qualify for more, but you'll need to submit receipts and everything that you've paid for trying to correct the issues that were caused by this breach. But at least anyone that's affected could receive a minimum $125. So go on their website, check to see if you were affected, because let me tell you, $125, that's three bottles of vodka for us.
I got to give them a call because I think I got to call my credit card companies because I think it's Equifax's fault. It wasn't me.
And then don't forget, it's not only you that you're checking for. So it asks you for your last name and then the last six digits of your social to run the check and see if you were affected. So I checked my mom, I checked my brothers, and I notified them and said,
got a phone call from his credit card company saying his credit was.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah.
Just put in the last six digits of your social.
Yeah. No, but it is a real thing and it's out there. And so right now, they've approved for the class action status for people to be able to start submitting the requests, and then they'll have a final number and approve whether or not they can do the payouts
In 3 years to 6 from now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So in 2020, sometime in January, February of 2020. So, but like I said, $125 is $125, and I'm not going to let them keep my money if I can have it.
Wait, so were you affected?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah, a lot of people were.
I probably was too, but go ahead. Steal my fucking identity.
Yeah, so
I dare you. Yeah, right?
No, but even if you were, that's free. $125 minimum free. Get your money. Just putting it out there. We do have a lot that we're going to cover. We do have a lot that we're going to talk about. We're going to rehash a conversation that we had last week regarding a young man that reached out to us, 14-year-old, who had concerns. He's ready to go to high school, and he had written to us asking if we would be able to give some suggestions or sort of kind of feedback on how to avoid being bullied in school, et cetera, et cetera. And we had a conversation regarding this.
And from the last email, I believe he's going to actually be starting next week.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was the original email. Mm. And so we were talking about, you know, like, well, what kind of support system does this person have in their life? We were questioning because we really didn't have too many details other than the small, you know, the short email that we had received. But we have a little bit more details on the issue. We had asked a question here on the show as to whether or not he had supportive parents, right? Someone that's usually your first line of defense,
right,
and where you can go and let someone know that this is happening. And unfortunately, he does not. So he ended up replying and he wrote us again. And he said, I just listened to this week's episode today, and I am so beyond happy that you guys put me in the podcast. I listen to your podcast every Tuesday morning while I volunteer,
which is awesome.
Fantastic. And it's always so fun listening to you guys talk about the LGBT community. I am so excited for next week to hear what you guys have to say. Obviously, we told everyone that we would look into ways that, you know, people could avoid being the victim of bullying with specific, you know, contexts and places like schools, etc. And he goes, I also want to mention, just in case you bring it up in conversation, that my friends are very supportive of me, but my family is very against me. They don't like me cross-dressing, and my mother uses the term flaming queer towards me when talking about my high gay energy. I love the fact that he just described it that way, right? It's amazing. And it's hard to hear from your own parents, and I feel that I'm losing my relationship with them. Anyways, I just wanted to say how much you guys helped me out. Thank you. So I wanted to open up the discussion again. this week because I felt that it was important. Someone's reaching out to us, and I think that we need to, in some minimal way, respond and try to get this person, you know, an idea of what they can or cannot do to avoid being the victim of bullying in school. So, table's open, guys.
Well, I remember, excuse me, there's a crack. And I remember he had said in the original email that he lives in an area that's pretty accepting, but he is afraid of some of these heterosexual men who do not agree with it or are going to pick on him, and he's afraid of what he can do. And I think the most important thing is what he's saying here, that he has his friends that are incredibly supportive of him. Keep very close to them, always be open with them. And then another thing, especially because you're going into high school, something that's quite common in a lot of states, perhaps maybe not in, you know, like the Bible Belt region. I'm not quite sure where he's from. I don't know. Don't remember.
We don't know.
Right. He didn't specify that. But if there's not a gay straight alliance in your school, that's something to look into forming, because we had one in Windsor Locks High School where I went, and that brought, there were more allies than there were openly LGBT students, but that was almost, I don't want to say better to see, but it was showing that we had such a supportive school. So I think the most important thing is to hold true to the community that is standing by you, because these people who, I don't even want to say they're against you or they hate you, they might not even understand what's going on in their own bodies, but the love from your support group is always going to outdo the hatred from someone else's group.
It's important. It really is. I mean, Trish, help me out here, but I feel that, like, for example, when I was in middle school and high school, I was constantly being bullied for being gay. And I remember that I would try to avoid being in spaces in where this individual who was bullying me was or would be. I would walk home the longer way so that I wouldn't have to encounter anyone that would possibly hit me or beat me up for just trying to get home. And so these are things that, unfortunately, you know, you have to do. But first things first is, you know, when you are confronted with a situation and where bullying is involved and some individuals trying to threaten you, whether that's verbally or physically, the first thing you want to do is avoid physical altercation. And that's the first line of defense, right? To avoid the person completely. So if you have to take the longer route home, do that. If you happen to share a bus, you know, try to sit next to the bus driver or someone, you know, that is an adult that may be able to quickly react if they're watching something because you're right next to them. Or try to, you know, surround yourself with a group of people.
That's what I think is more like, instead of taking the long route and almost making it sound like you're avoiding the situation, you have this tight-knit group of friends that love you. Talk with them. Say that you express your worries, and then, you know, they'll be with you. They'll walk with you home. You shouldn't have to avoid. I understand it. Yes, physical violence is the last thing you ever want to endure, but I don't think that you need to take the long route necessarily. I think you need to have your group of support with you.
But if you don't, you have to take the long route because you got to stay safe.
To be honest, if you find yourself in a physical situation, it's going to be a group of people against you. And that group of people, it might be one person that's causing the physical altercation, but the reality is they have a group of people behind them rooting them on. And then in most situations, you're going to have a group of spectators, people who...
The bystanders.
Who won't necessarily report it, who will stand there and be like, this is ridiculous, this shouldn't be happening, but they're not going to do anything about it. What you need to do and what you need to empower your friends to do is say something.
That's right.
Say something is happening. Go to your principal. Go to your guidance counselor, because at the end of the day, this is taken serious now. Right. Like, it's not a joke. Like,
bullying is zero tolerance.
If you're being attacked, that is not okay. And let's just table all of that for a second. Right now, you don't know what's going to happen.
That's right.
And what we're doing is trying to give you tools.
That's right.
So you may walk into a great environment, and if you, like I said in the earlier episode, if you embrace who you are and really stand true to who you are, a lot of times people are afraid to combat that. They don't want to come at somebody who is embraced who they are as a person.
The whole purpose of a bully trying to bully someone is they try to take your power.
They see insecurity and they attack it. And that is what a bully does, because they think they have power then.
Right. And yes, they definitely see the insecurity and they thrive on that. But sometimes, like, I want to highlight the strength that this guy has already, because sometimes bullies, they get threatened by people's strengths. Like you said, they want that power. You at the age of 14 and maybe even earlier are out. You're proud of who you are. You're expressing yourself. I didn't come out until the night I graduated high school. Like, yeah. I told the first person that night I graduated, you are already out there. You are strong. And that's the thing where I think some people, if anyone's going to be picking on you, it's like what Tom said. They want that power because they know that you're a strong, brave individual, and they want to knock you down from that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's, you know, and one of the most important things, as Nick said, is also being confident. Bullies usually pick on people that they think are weaker than they are. And so, you know, you have to stand up to them, and you might be scared to do so, but by standing up to them, it's what projects that confidence level in you. And then eventually they don't want to engage because they're not going to get what they want, which is to rattle you, mm-hmm. Which is to make you scared and, mm-hmm. and make you cry and look for that reaction. And so, standing strong is very important, but also keep in mind that you don't want to put yourself in physical
danger.
Physical danger mm-hmm. While you're doing that. So if you feel at any point in time that, you know, it's going to get physical, you have two choices. Either you fight back with everything that you've got and you show this person that you're not one to be messed with. Not something that I'm telling a 14-year-old to do, but sometimes you have to. Or you just leave.
Look,
run. Do what you got to do. And then find someone, an adult, that can address the situation and hopefully deal with it in the correct way.
What generally happens is you have people say things like, you're gay, you're a fudge packer. You get, like, gay slurs thrown at you. Mm-hmm. So what do? Acknowledge it.
I am.
You're right, I'm gay.
Can't take that away from me.
You are then taking all of the power they had away from them because their one thing was, you're a faggot, you're gay. And you look at them and say, you're right, I am a faggot.
Brilliant
I am
observation.
Gay. Yeah. What are they going to say?
Mm-hmm. At that point, yeah.
That's literally what I went through in high school. Somebody walked by, you're gay. You know what? You are completely right. I'm a homo. I'm gay. What? And they just turned and walked away. And like, that was it. And I'm not saying that that happens for everybody because it doesn't.
But even as adults, right? This is something that's very touchy because even adults go through this. Adults go through that whole, like, how am I going to react in this situation? I'll give you an example. I went to the corner store where I always go every day. And the annoying clerk behind the counter, who's very machista and girls this, and every man that walks in through that door, he assumes is a heterosexual man and he wants to talk about girls and blah, 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 blah. And so he says to me, so I went to play my numbers. You know, I play lotto and I go get my scratch offs and do all that good stuff.
Sounds like an old lady. Mm-hmm.
I am. And so I went and I got to the counter and I said, you know, can I play these numbers? Mind you, he's having conversations with people. And they're not buying anything. And I'm like, excuse me, can you replay these numbers for me and give me my scratch off so I can be on my way? I got to go to work. And he goes, oh, you're going to work tonight? Where do you work? And I said, I work at a bar. He goes, oh, all the ladies are going to be there tonight. Well, I said, yeah, that's not the kind of bar it is. I mean, all the guys will be there for me. And he goes like, I don't get it. What do you mean? And I said, it's a gay bar. So, I mean, there's not going to be any women for you, but there's going to be plenty of men for me. He just goes, he just walks away, got his tickets. He rang my tickets through, gave me my stuff, and I was on my way. But that whole interaction was it was weird because I felt it didn't need to happen, especially at my age. I'm like, why am I going through this now with a clerk at a store who's probably like 25? And I'm like, I don't have to deal with this shit. And today when I walked into the store, his behavior or his reaction now when I walk into the store is completely different, mm-hmm. you know? And I'm like, fine, listen, you feel disgusted with the information I shared with you? That's your problem, not mine. I still want my numbers. I still want my scratch-offs. I'm going to buy me a pack of smokes, and I'm taking a fucking Red Bull.
So I think there are...
Anyway, let's go back.
Yeah, so I think there are a couple of things that we should all hit on. And I want to go back to his family in a second. Mm-hmm. But first I want to say, like I was saying earlier, make sure that you stay true to yourself, mm-hmm. embrace yourself, take the power back. Because we have the power to take the power back. Don't let them use something that is who you are mm-hmm. against who you are. And then two, also, like Chris was saying and Tom was saying, make sure that those people that support you, that you feel supported by, are surrounding you all the time when they need to be surrounding you, when you need to be walking home, when you need to be leaving, just make sure that they're surrounding you, because at the end of the day, all of those assholes that are saying negative shit, they don't matter. And you will blossom and you will bloom in your own right. So just make sure that the people that will help that process happen are there and want to be there and support you 100%. Third, make sure that you are vocal enough to say something is going on and it's not okay. Don't let people be spectators. Say something, because otherwise nothing will change. You can be the one that makes that change happen just by saying something. People will notice and people will back you up. If you stand up and say, hey, this is happening, people will stand by you, especially the people that support you. So if you feel like you're being bullied or targeted, or if you see somebody else that's being bullied or targeted, stand up, say something, because you're the one that's going to make the change. It's not the person next to you. It's you. You have to be the one that stands up and makes a change.
Right, exactly. You can't wait for someone else to speak up. Mm-hmm. You have to be the one to do it. And before we move to family, I just want to make one quick point. I don't know where, like we said, we don't know where you live. We don't know what part of the country you're in. But just to maybe give you a little bit of hope, because we don't know what's going to happen. When I was in high school, no one was really picked on. The people that were openly gay, no one ever really got picked on. Yeah, you know, when the guys would be hanging out, sometimes they would make jokes about the person behind their back, but it was a very small school that I went to, 150 people in my class, so we didn't experience anything. So, I mean, you guys are a little bit older than me, so things were a little bit different, but when I went to high school, bullying was really not accepted and people really didn't partake in it. So that's just my experience.
I went to a much larger school than you, and as much as I wasn't, there was some bullying, but as much as I wasn't really truly bullied, I would say, it did happen. Mm-hmm. I saw it. And whether it was behind someone's back and just said flippantly as a joke, it's not a joke.
Right.
That's bullying, because then that can be translated or transferred into another situation.
Or another person might start using that same language that you're jokingly using and thinking that it's okay to go and attack someone.
It can be insightful incite violence or hatred.
And the bigger the school, the bigger the population, and the more people that you don't know. A lot of times you have a bully that has so many issues, so many family issues, you don't know where they're coming from, what's going on in their life, and they're taking that out by taking power from you, like we were talking about earlier, because they feel so powerless. Mm-hmm. So that is where bullying generally starts. It starts at home.
That's right.
And I don't know if you want to speak anything to that before we move on to
I just wanted to say that, you know, in my experience, I was bullied a lot. I also fought a lot. I also fought back and opened my mouth, and I was, you know, I'm not going to take this, you know, but I found comfort in my experience. No matter what school I went to, I always found that one administrator or that one teacher that was extra caring and extra attentive to the things and your movements within the school, and took the time to say, good morning, how are you? Is everything okay? And I always found that one administrator or teacher that was always like that. And I gravitated towards those kind of people, because those were the people that in times of need were going to help you and were going to, you know, take it to the next level and say, no, this person came to you, you did nothing, you have to do something. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and then one of the other things that you have to make sure that you realize too is that, you know, never think it's your fault, right? Nobody deserves the right to be bullied. You know, try not to fight back or bully another person, because it's kind of hard to sort of kind of say, hey, this is happening to me, if you then go around and then do the same thing to someone else. And don't keep it to yourself and just hope that it'll go away, because sometimes it doesn't. And the more you internalize this, the worse it gets inside for you. It could lead to other things like suicide. It could lead to, you know,
just burst
depression.
Out.
Yeah. Right.
You know, don't skip school or avoid people just because you're being bullied, because, you know, in the end, you're there to get an education, and the administrators and the people that work in these facilities have to guarantee you a safe space where you can go and learn and do what you need to do in school.
And one of those educators or faculty members, they might have been through what you're going through.
Right.
They don't talk about a lot of their lives. You know, teachers keep a lot of things personal, but one of your teachers might be openly gay, or not openly, well, openly gay, but not out to the students. So that would be the person who would probably stand for zero tolerance mm-hmm. when it comes to picking on someone in the community.
So I want to address the family.
Definitely.
And I think that so we've been talking a lot about bullying and how to interact with that and then move forward with that. And I think your fear of bullying is coming from your family. And I think that it's important that you note that what they're saying to you is not okay. And what you have to go through every day just to be you, it's not okay. But what's important is that you keep being you and know that we talk about it on the show all the time. You have what we call, what the gay community calls your chosen family, which I know, I'm assuming you know that term by now. And that chosen family for you may be this group of people that you surround yourself with. Brief story, when I was growing up, I had a chosen family. They are still a huge part of my life. I spent most of sophomore through senior year at their home because I felt supported, I felt accepted, and it was never questioned whether it was like literally sleeping there 5 days in a row or whatnot. You find where you feel comfortable, and if you are welcome there, they become the family that will support you moving forward.
That's right.
I also think that it's really important to note that if you stay in the toxic environment where you fear that you're going to be bullied going into a different situation, that bullying or that fear that you're taking from home, you're going to bring it right into the classroom and you're going to bring it right into the situations in which you think you're going to get bullied. And then that's going to cause a chain reaction. So you might not actually be being bullied or be in a situation where bullying may happen, but you may be reacting that way because you think it's going to happen mm-hmm. because you're in lack of better term, you're being traumatized at home.
That's right.
And so you need to find an outlet and a safe space to be you, whether it's at home or not at home. And another thing on top of that too is you don't know what your parents are going through. I know that my father was not good when I came out of the closet at all. He was physically aggressive. He was verbally aggressive. It was an unsafe space, and I left. That man is my best friend now
mm-hmm.
because it took him time to come to terms with what I was going through. I didn't realize he was hurting just as bad as I was hurting because mm-hmm. he was coming to terms with his son being gay.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not making it okay for him to be physically or verbally aggressive toward me. It took me a long time to forgive him.
Right. But sometimes it takes someone a bit longer to realize that what they're doing is wrong
right.
and then come to terms with that and then come out on the other side scathed, mm-hmm. right? Because we do. But, you know, you see the light at the end of the tunnel and you were able to actually reconnect with mm-hmm. your dad and have a different relationship than you did when you were younger.
100%.
Absolutely. And with that, like, when my parents first found out I was gay, I didn't feel comfortable at home. They weren't mean to me or they didn't threaten me or anything, but I didn't feel like I could be myself. So I ended up moving in with my first boyfriend, and that family became my chosen family. He had a younger brother and an older brother that treated me as their sibling. Their mom took me in, and I lived there for a year. And as a couple months had gone by, my parents realized how special to them I was, and I wasn't around anymore. Yeah. So that alone can be something to realize. If you're not there, then they're going to realize how special you are as their child. And then that even could be a trigger to start maybe having them start to think about it and start to try to yep. understand what they don't understand.
And this whole thing needs to be kind of umbrellaed by the fact that we are not professionals.
Mm-hmm.
Facts, neither right. doctors, mentally, nothing. We are not professionals. What we have is life experience. So we are not suggesting you do anything.
Mm-hmm.
What we are is giving you our life experience and hoping for the best for
that's
you.
That's right. So there's definitely more that we need to say about this. But very quickly, we do need to acknowledge one of our supporters or what do we call these? Oh, God.
Advocate?
An advertisement.
Okay, so one of our supporters.
Sponsors.
Thank you. Jesus Christ, it's been a while.
I wasn't going to help.
But anyway, here's one of our sponsors. We'll be right back.
Tonight's episode is brought to you by Tolv, the new true wireless headphones from Studio, the company bringing you awesome headgear with amazing sound quality in a variety of styles to meet your listening needs. Get your hands on the new Tolv today. Use discount code GAYTALK15 and get 15% off your entire order. And remember, it's free shipping worldwide. Visit studio.com today to get yours. Now, back to the show.
Okay, so now that that's out of the way, I wanted to come back and very quickly point out that there are some resources out there too online that you can go to and read up about some of the stuff. One of the websites that that I had looked at was, of course, bear with me, stompoutbullying.org. There's so many others as well. There's a lot of really amazing information on this in regards to bullying and what you can do, what you should not do, what could help. And obviously, I'm sure that there are resources of people that you can reach out to in case you need to. You can do that as well. Now, this young individual had also mentioned that, of course, he doesn't have the support that I think he needs at home.
Mm-hmm.
From his parents. And I wanted to say this now. You're 14 years old, and I know that sometimes this type of dynamic in the home can be heartbreaking, because it can. You know, you look to these parents, people that raised you, as a means of protection, as a means of having your back and being someone that will support you. And sometimes that's not the case. And there might be an inkling in your mind and saying, you know, I need to leave. I want to leave. I don't want to be in this environment, etc. And in my experience, I think that I would advise against it. You know, you're 14. You got 4 years before you're 18 years of age. Then at that point, you are considered a legal adult and you can move on with your life and then make decisions for yourself. You know, I'm not sure what exactly your parents are asking you not to do or what to curtail, or, but if you're living in their home, you know what? Just do what they ask. Try to just lay under the radar for 4 years. And when you're 18 years of age, book and do what you've got to do. One of the most important things that I think that you should remember is that although it might be an uncomfortable situation being under those four walls, you have four walls to be in. There are countless children that make the decision of leaving home or get kicked out of their home because of the issues that they have with their parents and then end up on the street with nowhere to be, nowhere to live, and no one to help them. And if you could avoid that situation by just simply trying to go under the radar for 4 years, do that. Because I think that it is better for you to have a place to be in and live in and go to than not have a place.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I get what you're saying, but I don't think that just sitting back for 4 years is a healthy thing to do. As we had mentioned,
not
that
necessarily
there are,
that it's
right,
healthy,
but we had mentioned that there are resources for you or people in your situation to reach out to. Mm-hmm. When we had Tony Ferriola on, there are many resources for parents, because it might be that your parents just don't understand what's
Correct.
Going on.
Yeah.
So there are plenty of websites, there are plenty of LGBT community groups that, you know, you could just leave a leaflet down in the living room for a resource that your parents can reach out to. They can make a phone call, an anonymous phone call. They can go to a meeting just to try to, you know, sit down and speak with other parents whose young children are going through the same thing, to maybe work on having them, their minds chained and change and become more accepting of who you actually are.
And the other thing is, I don't want to contradict what we're saying here, too, because I want to make sure that when Tom says flying under the radar, I don't think what it sounds like and what it actually means are two different
things. I'll explain.
Things. Well, so, hold on. Let me keep going, because I don't want you to ever temper who you are and who you've become. So I think you need to embrace that while finding a way to live comfortably in your home.
That's right. And so for example, in the email they said, you know, they don't like my cross-dressing, and my mother uses the term flaming queer. So if cross-dressing is an issue while you're at your parents' house, it is their house, it is their rules, try to not do it while you're at home. And then that may give you an opportunity to fly under the radar for 4 years until you're 18 years of age, and then be able to get out and do what you have to do. You know, it's just like anything that you can do to minimize the conflict between you and your parents at home, I think will help you, because then at least you have somewhere to go back to, somewhere to sleep and somewhere to be able to bathe. And because I can't tell you how many countless people, for example, that live in a state like Nevada, Well, not Utah. Nevada, sorry, Utah, and where, you know, their parents kick them out onto the street just for the simple fact that they're gay, and find themselves homeless and with nowhere to go and no resources, that they immediately think they have no resources and they have to resort to going and living under a bridge or resorting to it's just...
It sounds better when you say it that way.
Yeah.
It does sound better. And there is a drag queen I'm not going to mention by name, but she lives at home and her parents were not comfortable with her getting dressed in drag. So she would be open and not hide who she was, but she had a safe space where she could get prepared to go out for shows or just go outside and made it a little more comfortable at home for her.
Yeah. And I did leave my house. I did.
Yeah.
Literally felt it was a physical situation. I left my house, didn't go back for like four and a half, five months. And the first couple of months were really hard. That doesn't mean you can't do it. I think Tom has a very valid point. Mm-hmm. But if you ever are in a situation in which you feel that uncomfortable, like you said, you have a support network. And I think you need to feel out that support network so you know if you need that support network, where to go. That being said, I also think that the first day of high school, you should probably try to make an appointment with your guidance counselor and really start to connect with them right away so that you have an outlet that you can go to. Because Miss Fogarty, sorry to throw your name out there, but she saved my life in high school. From freshman year through senior year, she knew every single thing that went on in my life, and she helped me through everything.
Yeah, that was Dr. Dupre for me. He was my guidance counselor in high school. I went to an inner city school here in New Haven, Wilbur Cross. It was a very tough school, but that man got me through a lot of things, and so I'm super grateful.
Miss Theodorotis for me.
Yeah.
Yep. We all had our one.
So, you know, like I said, there's always going to be that one person in school, that one administrator, that one teacher, that one employee that is going to look out for your best interest. And once you find them, know who they are, go to them. Don't be afraid to talk to them and say, hey, this is happening. What can I do? Can you help me? Because it will make a world of difference.
And the custodians are also really good for that, because the ones at school, if they saw anyone picking on anyone for any reason,
oh,
they would pretty much look like they were about to break a fucking mop over that bully's head. So they got your back, too.
And so that being said, young man, you're super brave already.
Yeah.
You have 1 foot ahead in life because of who you are, what you're doing, and the fact that you reach out and know that there are people out there that are listening. We're listening, baby boy. And know that you know, your concerns are valid and important, and you are a valuable member and will be a valuable member of our community. So keep staying strong. And to the teachers, if we have any teachers, administrators, or anyone listening to our show, be vigilant. Know that there are people out there that this happens to. It may not necessarily be someone from the LGBT community. It could be anyone, any child in that school. They're in your care. If someone comes up to you and says something, do something. Mm-hmm. Because you could be the difference between life and death for any individual.
You know what? I want to say one more thing and then we got to close it out.
Of course.
There's a whole level of this that we haven't even touched on, and that's social media, which is something that we didn't necessarily grow up with in high school.
That's right.
We didn't have Facebook. We didn't have Instagram.
Well, but it just came out.
But we didn't have Snapchat and all that stuff. It wasn't that big of a deal when we were all growing up. And I know that just hearing some stories recently about how it's impacting, now that I have friends that have kids, their high school and middle school lives, that's a whole nother level. And all I have to say about that is be really vigilant and careful about what you're sharing, when you're sharing it, and who you're sharing it with. Because those things are things that can be, I don't want to say used against you, but yes, used against you to the point at which it causes other issues.
Because cyberbullying is the modern day bullying.
Oh, print everything, take screenshots, have your proof, and go to someone that can possibly do something about it.
And that being said, also be really careful what you're sharing with and who you're sharing it with.
Right. And thank you for taking the time to reach out to us on the show.
Yeah.
I think that this provided a very intense conversation surrounding the topic. Obviously, for most of us on this table, it's personal. You know, we've been through a lot of it. And so thank you. Mm-hmm. So we're going to take a break. We're going to go and leave you with some music. And when we come back, we'll have our dish. Here we go. So baby, let me hold your love. Let's be good.
hard to see you with a man you call your friend, but in the end, I know I don't have much time to tell you why I wanna die, but then I cry, so then I lie, so I don't make you bend time. Cause if you wanted me to move, you know I would, because I'm good at making you love me. And if I said I needed more than I came for, would you ignore me making you love me? So baby, play me on your love secret.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, from the break. That was Time by the incredible Pat Riley. First and foremost, I would like to say and apologize to our Patreon subscribers for that first half, because that audio was just god-awful, I'm sure. But we're back, and the audio is working and everything.
Oh, they didn't hear any of the good audio? They only heard it from this?
They only heard the first half from the iPad, because I didn't plug in this little cable here that goes into the iPad.
Trish.
But I got this. I will correct it in
post.
We'll
give you one more chance, but Trish, I think we need to start talking about getting a new intern.
I'm going to cut her.
I've been saying available? It for years.
Is Schmo available?
Okay. Good luck with the podcast.
I love you.
But I love you, Schmo. Anyway, welcome back.
That's not nice.
Like I said, I apologize. It was my fault. I did it. Mama Kim, thank you for calling us and letting us know.
Calling Nick
and letting him know that we were, still broadcasting. So anyway, we're back. So we've got two stories that we're going to cover and then do all of our good stuff. So I'm going to toss it over to Chris, because Chris, you had a story that you wanted to talk about.
Yeah, I mean, it's just something, you know, since I like to get international and everything like that. I believe it was last week that there was a Pride event in, I don't know if I'm going to say this right, Bialystok in Poland, and it was met with some nasty backlash and some violence too. And there was a group, she referenced a conservative magazine called Gazeta Polska, which was distributing hateful stickers last week that said, quote, LGBT free zones. So that was, exactly. So Poland is a very conservative nation. But there was some good stuff that came out of this. Demonstrators from Poland's progressive parties, they waved rainbow flags and took to the streets of Warsaw a week after the violent attacks. So they weren't going to stand for it. They took to the streets and they marched. And they said that we're here. There's no LGBT free zones here in Poland. We don't stand for that. And then I believe it was saying that police have detained at least 30 people in connection with the violence that took place during this Pride event. And the prime minister, including with other politicians, have denounced anti-LGBT events, even though the prime minister is incredibly conservative and incredibly hateful toward our community, as far as I know.
Sorry, I haven't seen this article at all, so I don't know. I can't speak to it at all.
Well, that's why she's talking about it.
Well, that's really what it was. Like, I knew that they were trying to put the pride of it here. I'm going to send it to the group.
Oh, thank you.
Oh.
I mean, how... You're so caring.
I am. But no, I just thought it's important that something...
I'm like, what is he talking about?
I know, I forgot to put
what
it in the notes.
What story is this?
I forgot to put it in the notes. There you go, it's in the notes now. Or it's not in the notes, it's in the text message.
Okay.
Anywho, so I just thought it was important that, you know, these people were out there, they were being proud, they were being hated on, magazine was sending those hurtful, disturbing, disgusting stickers out, and... they weren't going to stand for it. They took to the streets. They were proud of who they were, and they were going to stand up to the conservative government and to those hateful people around them. And I am proud of the Polish people.
That's awesome, though. I mean, and you know,
it's a very short article.
Yeah, no, it is. I'm looking at it now.
Yeah.
it's amazing to see, right? Like we've been seeing a lot of demonstrations in the past 3 weeks of people just being fed up with governments and saying, no, we're not going to stand for this. And they're going out into the streets and doing what they need to do. Look at what happened in Puerto Rico, right?
I know.
We talked about it. The governor is out. Goodbye.
Doesn't he leave on Friday?
Sayonara. August 2nd is his last day.
Friday, yeah.
But the problem is, right, so...
Oh, the person who's supposed to replace him?
The person who was supposed to replace him, the lieutenant governor, per se, but it's really the secretary of state there, had resigned a week before the governor did. So now the third person in line is the secretary of justice. Her name is Wanda Vasquez, and she doesn't want it.
And I don't think people want her either.
They don't want her either.
She's too closely tied with the soon-to-be-out governor.
Not only that, but she was also under investigation for doing something for family members that had to do with a case in Puerto Rico. And so she was suspended, and she was reinstated by that governor. And so they don't want her, and she doesn't want it. And they've warned her already, if you by de facto end up as governor because of our constitution, we're going to riot. We're going to... do the same thing we did to this governor and get you out. But anyway, that's besides the point. We're talking about
Poland,
this particular article in Poland. So it's important to see the LGBT community, especially in the Polish community. Polish communities are very, very, very Catholic, very religious.
I'm of Polish descent. Like, and I grew up in a very Catholic. My grandparents were very, very Catholic.
Yeah, and so to see a whole group of people come out and say, no, we're not going to tolerate this, and we're going to fight for our rights to be heard, to be seen, to be acknowledged, is beautiful.
And stand up to a government that doesn't... they paint these people... they blame the LGBT people and paint them as pedophiles and just upright bad people. So they're standing up to a government that doesn't support them, doesn't look at them as Poles. They look at them as trash, as garbage.
Which is common for most, even for our country. I mean, for years and years and years, before we got marriage equality, before the Stonewall riots, we were considered pedophiles. We were considered
sexual deviants.
Deviants or mentally ill.
Right, mentally ill, yeah.
And so, you know, it's just beautiful to see people stand up for their rights.
And where was this is going in toward into what they used to call the Eastern Bloc of this is going to, into Eastern Europe. And Tiberiu, where was he from? He was from
Romania.
Romania, exactly.
Yeah, he's in Spain right now.
Right, exactly. But it's just going to show that these states, whether they be part of the European Union or not, people are going to stand up and they're going to stand against these governments that are keeping them from becoming part of the European Union because of their hateful rhetoric.
So I have a friend of mine who moved to Hungary with her wife. They were legally married here in the U.S. They're having issues being acknowledged in Hungary.
I believe it.
And they're going through the motions. I really would love to see if she would come on the show and talk about her experience. But they're going through the courts right now and fighting. And I'm thinking that they're going to be successful because of the ruling in the higher courts in the European Union and acknowledging same-sex couples that weren't married in a specific state within that union. Mm-hmm. But it's been a long ride for her. And
Is they both moved to Hungary? Is her
correct?
Was she born there?
Yes, her wife is a Hungarian citizen, and she came here to the U.S. She met her wife. They got married here. They went back home because they needed to take care of mom. Mm-hmm. Her wife's mother.
Right, gotcha.
And now they're having issues.
Now, are they living in a small town, a suburb? Are they in Budapest? Like,
I'm not sure exactly where they're at.
I think it would be awesome if you could reach out to her, because I would love to hear the stances, especially, you know, coming out of the capital, out of Budapest there, and hear how the Hungarians, both the government and the citizens, view LGBT community and their rights or lack of rights.
Yeah. So I'll reach out to her. You know, she was a coworker of mine in my job, and she left us, and I was just devastated because she was amazing. She's a beautiful, beautiful, amazing woman. And now she's living in Hungary, and she's doing her thing over there. They have a beautiful home. They bought a house, but they're going through it. They're fighting the legal system there to have their marriage acknowledged there.
Which is the same thing that was going on in Romania.
That's right. That's right. All right. So, Trish, what do you have for us, baby girl? Because you were sitting over here silently.
Sorry. I was like looking things up. I'm sorry.
Of course. No, she's probably looking at that dick pic. That's what she was doing.
No, I did that already like 5 times.
Anyway, what do you got, baby girl?
So I was talking to this guy. Oh, we're not talking about the dick pic anymore?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, we got work to do, girl.
All right, so...
We got work to do.
This is really interesting. So I guess Facebook has been urging basically everybody, but... targeting when they target everybody, there are also targeting gay men to give blood. And so we know that as gay men, we can't give blood unless we're celibate for at least a year. And that didn't happen until 2015. In 2015, they changed their lifelong ban you can give us blood if you don't have sex for a year. One, how are they going to track that?
Right.
First of all, who are you kidding? I mean, like 99.99% of men... have sex.
With the exception of me. I can give blood at this point. But actually, no, not until September.
It's a horrible policy, honestly. It really is.
It's terrible, but what's worse about it is if you're a gay man and you're on Facebook and they ask you to donate blood, now not only are you looking at this saying, why are they asking me, but it's now rehashing the fact that you actually can't give blood.
That's
so it's
right.
Putting you in a place where you're kind
like you want to, but you're disappointed in the fact that this organization thinks you can't give blood just for the simple fact of having sex.
Yeah, there are so many men that want to give blood and they can't because they have sex with another man. And a lot of them are in monogamous relationships, but
honestly
they still
speaking,
can't give blood.
Honestly speaking, if they would allow men who have sex within the LGBT community to be able to donate blood, they would probably have a surplus because there's no more giving community. There's no community in this world that's more given than the LGBT community. We try to be there for other folks that are not part of our community. We try to be there when there's, you know, any type of like, you know, social justice issue, and giving blood, something as simple as giving blood and saving someone else's life, is something that I know for a fact our community would totally support if you gave us an opportunity to do so.
Yeah, so in about 20 countries, there are bans against men who have sex with other men from giving blood. In 2017, India, Brazil, and Bangladesh were countries that were involved in this Facebook social media social good team thing that opened up Facebook to allow promoting giving blood, right?
Yeah.
So those countries are still, you can't give blood if you're gay. And now, just recently, it was released in America. And so now we, as American citizens, as gay American citizens, are now seeing these things pop up. Give blood. We need blood. And especially if you're in a specific area that needs blood, they're going to push those ads on you. And so now we have to face the fact that these ads, no matter if you're saying, hey, I'm gay on Facebook, I'm interested in men, this is my searching history, these are my friends that are also all gay men, they're still pushing those ads on mm-hmm. these people. Meanwhile, we can't actually do anything yeah. about it.
And you would
why
think,
are they doing this?
And you would think with all the algorithms that they have, because they have an algorithm for everything, you speak the word shampoo and you get freaking shampoo advertisement on fucking Facebook. Mm-hmm. You would think that with some algorithms as advanced as Facebook's capabilities, that they would be able to sort of kind of not have that stuff show up on your timeline knowing you can't get blood.
Yeah, some people feel like it's like Facebook rubbing it in our face.
Yeah.
But it's not, though. I really don't think that was the intention, but the intention was not thought through. Yeah. They should have had more people in the room saying, okay, we're going to launch this in America, but we know that the FDA says this, so how do we create an algorithm that doesn't push it toward people that are interested in this? Because otherwise, they're throwing it in our face. They're saying, hey, give blood. We need blood. There's a crisis. We need blood. And here we are like, well, I can't fucking help you. And I wish I could, but yeah. I can't.
Yeah, it's...
Meanwhile, everything is...
I almost said it last
everything
time
is screened. And here's the thing I was exactly. thinking about today is I'm an organ donor on my license. If anything were to happen to me, you don't want them.
Yeah, facts.
But
at least
I am.
Not the liver.
But I am. If I am dead on a table... You don't think they're going to take my organs and give them to somebody else?
Because they won't know. You can't verbally say
but
that.
But I can't get well, you.
She's got a rainbow tattoo on her foot.
Well, that's true.
Tom will come in and saw that off real quick.
I will chop that foot off.
But that's beyond the point. I yeah. could be just an ally, or I could have a gay son, or...
But the second they cut you open, your body just goes, yes!
It'll be full of glitter.
Glitter popped out!
It's gonna be. It's going to be like...
There's no blood. She's going to go to get blood, and it's going to clog it up because it's all glitter coming out.
I will tell you this. So I had an experience at work, right? My job does 3 blood drives a year. And I remember I went upstairs to the 3rd floor to the calf up there because it's really quiet and you can really like, you know, sort of kind of get in your head and eat and whatever without being interrupted. And on my way down, there were 3 guys on the elevator. They had just finished donating blood and they looked at me and said, hey, by the way, you know that they're asking for donations today. Are you going to donate blood? And I said, well, I can't. They don't want my blood. And they looked at me baffled. They were like, why? And I said, because I'm a homosexual. And they're like, huh? They were baffled.
Yeah, they don't realize.
And then they sort of kind of like, well, what do you mean? I said, I'm a gay man, and because I'm a gay man, I can't donate blood because they won't take it. They were shocked.
Mm-hmm. Especially in a time where blood is so incredibly needed.
Yeah. And that shocked them. And I think it shocked them more than I was so candid about the fact that, you know, hey, I'm out. I'm a homosexual man. I can't donate blood. And I think that caught them off guard. Mm. But they were equally shocked to the fact that I can't donate blood because yeah. I'm gay.
Right.
And that's sad. Mm-hmm. And that's
well,
sad.
it makes you realize that, like, in a weird small way, mm-hmm. that there is so much inequality still.
Right. Yes.
And whether it's giving blood or getting married, but
and
like
fear.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Especially with all the medical advances that we're going right. through right now, it's nuts.
That's right.
And everything's fucking screened.
Right, exactly.
Double, triple sometimes.
That led, okay, I knew I didn't have a story, but you just reminded me. That's a perfect segue. And I hope one of our listeners can help me out and heard this story so they can chim in, send us an email, remind me the person's name because I want to read more about him. There was this man, really big during the outbreak in the 80s and the early 90s. He himself contracted AIDS or HIV and then became AIDS. His partner passed away from AIDS. He had this crazy mansion where he was known to collect everything. And celebrity, he was friends with a lot of celebrities, very famous guy. He had petrified feces. Someone found a human toe and they're like, oh, he would love this. So they sent it. He had Hitler's teaspoon. Like, this guy had the most insane collection of stuff. And one day he was hosting this dinner party and he was like, he loved to cook for his friends. And he, he was cutting.
God, I hope he wasn't using crazy ingredients.
Well, I believe he was. No, I believe in the story. It was on the Moth Radio Hour. I was listening to it on Saturday on NPR, and he was cutting parsley, and he cut a little piece of his finger, and blood started coming out, and he started freaking out, thinking, "Oh my God, I'm going to get AIDS!" And then he's like, he like ran out of the room, and all of his friends were like, "What is going on? What is going on?" He's like, "I have to make sure everything's clean because I'm going to give myself AIDS." And he's like, "Wait a minute, I already have AIDS, and I was terrified of my own blood." And then he decided he was an artist, and he would later be labeled as a terrorist. And what he started doing was making these death devices that he would put on display in his home. He would fill balloons with his own blood. He would fill squirt guns with his own blood. He would have this, like, what do you, like those poison darts, like in Africa, and he'd be like, you're like one of those with the feathers on it. He made it, had the syringe, filled it with his blood, put like bird feathers on it. This man was, this was his way of expressing his art, but people labeled him as a terrorist. And they even, there was an art exhibit, I believe it was in Sweden, that wanted his work to put on display. And the second their equivalent of the CDC heard about that, they shut down the studio right away.
So his obsession with blood was came out of his fear for him contracting AIDS, yeah, which he had already had.
Which he already had.
So he used his art to get rid of that.
His art was based on people's fears, and his own blood terrified him until he realized, wait, that's my blood. I'm okay. I mean, I'm not okay. I don't know if he's still alive, but his own blood scared him. So he went with that. He was like, I'm going to make art on people's fears. And this was going on at the height of the AIDS epidemic. It was insane, but an absolute fascinating story. And I'm really hoping that one of our listeners listened to that same story, because I want to know this man's name. I want to look him up, and I want to share more about his story, because he's supposed to be an incredibly eccentric
just listening to the little bit that you've described, I think that his eccentricness comes from his fear of his own blood,
right,
which then led him to be create this entire repertoire of art based on his blood, so that he could lose that fear.
But no, he understood that after he, it kind of sank in. He's like, wait, this is my blood, I don't need to be afraid of it. But so many people, he was talking about going into the hospitals where people were those who were affected with AIDS, you know, they were looked at as, they needed to be quarantined. Yeah. Nurses and doctors wouldn't go into it. So that's what he fed off. He's like, wow, these people are so terrified. I can make this art off it and just build this beautiful art in his mind off of people's fears. That's what it was. Because he knew what it was like when he was saying that half of his friends died.
So that was the weirdest fucking segue.
It was, but you just like...
you have ever made.
I always listen to the Moth Radio Hour whenever I'm driving to work. I mean, if I'm off, I listen to it. The stories are incredible on that show. And I heard this one, and I was running late, so I couldn't finish the end of the story because I was parked, and I was like, I have to go into work, but please tell me someone listened to the story, because it was fascinating.
Is there a show available on a podcast or anything?
The Moth Radio Hour.
Yeah, so why don't you just go back a couple of episodes?
And I will find it, and I'll send it to you guys so you can listen to it, because it was absolutely fascinating.
You
bizarre.
Have some homework. Yeah, it's definitely bizarre.
Yes.
I mean, art with HIV-tainted blood... Mm. Displayed at, I could see why this the equivalent of the CDC in Norway?
Sweden, I think. It was either Sweden or Norway. I believe it was Sweden, yeah.
I could see why they would want to shut it down. I mean,
of course.
Anyway.
Mm-hmm. But wow. Yeah, I know, right? Weird segue, but it just clicked like that. It was one of the most bizarre stories I've ever heard. So I will find it out, because I would love you guys and our listeners to listen to it, because it's something else.
Interesting.
I don't even know what to say about that.
let's not say anything.
At the end of the day, like, it sucks we can't give blood.
Yeah.
And
I mean, we could, but you would have to stop having sex for it.
Or you'd have to lie. Then you're not being yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. So, anyway, why don't we move into Mama Kim's Minute?
Yeah.
And close this out?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. So, Nick.
Enough about petrified feces.
Yeah, Lord have mercy.
What the fuck?
Chris, give us crazy. A timer.
All right, Josh, ready? Go.
All right, everybody. So, it's Mama Kim's Minute. Pete Buttigieg interviewed Ban from Southern Radio stations. It has been released as a separate podcast. 2, Californian city to hold straight pride celebrating Western civilization.
Boo.
3, PrEP implant could be a game changer for HIV prevention. 4, 7 self self-care tips that are small but powerful. What are your favorite self-care practices? 5, after suing daughter for transitioning without permission, mom takes it to Supreme Court. 6, Florida politician says LGBTI people love being in prison. I wonder why.
What the fuck? Well, yeah. Oh, wait, no, Florida, sorry. That makes sense. Yeah. Sorry for our Florida listeners. Come on, you knew that was coming. Like, you guys are great people.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I think I need like some background music for Mama Kim's Minute. Mm-hmm. We got to talk about this.
It's got to be something. We'll, it's got to be like the saber dance.
Yeah,
no, that,
like that's something good.
The bumblebee. It's a...
Oh, she's going.
It's public domain. We could do that.
What the hell did you eat today? I want some of your energy.
I know,
what did you
drink?
What did you smoke? What did you ingest? I don't know. Whatever it is. Okay.
Ramen noodles.
Okay. All right. So this week's Gay Talk term, of course, brought to you by
GayRealEstate.com
is what? Set the table.
StudioSweden.com. Sorry.
Set the table. So this means to change your bed linens. Make the bed. Always keep your table set. You never know when dinner will want to spend the night.
That is a fact.
That is a very big fact.
That is a fact. It's like, I sweat a little much last night. I should have washed my sheets in the morning.
You should have set the table.
And I had soup in bed, and it's white sheets, and it was tomato bisque, so it doesn't look good.
Set the table.
Set the table.
Next thing you know, you're at a deli, you meet somebody, you bring them home, and you're like, I didn't set the table.
You're at a deli, you meet. Meet.
Oh, that was a clever pun.
Yes.
Proud of you.
That was good.
Someone, and then you're like, and then you meet them again when you get home.
And you're like, I'm so sorry. Well, at least I'm so sorry, Steve. It's not what it looks like.
I know. All right. Christopher on the stage.
For lack of better terms, Steve.
And it was a deli, so I was like, oh, perfect.
Lord, did that to myself.
All right. That's right. Yeah, you did, indeed. So on this day in gay history, brought to you, of course, by
GayRealEstate.com.
I wish it worked. I really wish it worked. This is a great one. When July 29th, wow, it's almost August, 2012, in the nation of India, Asia's first genderqueer pride event, a pride parade, was held. The first of its kind event takes place in Madurai. The Alan Turing Rainbow Festival is also held there on the same day. So
that's amazing.
Proud of India.
All right. So we're going to bring this home. So listen, guys, if you love the show, make sure you go subscribe, rate, and review on your favorite podcasting service. By doing so, you get the latest and greatest of our show delivered right to your favorite web browser or device as soon as our episodes are published. You can also support us on Patreon, where you, our listeners, can help support the show with a pledge donation. Those donations are collected monthly and can be in any denomination of a dollar or more. Chris?
Very excited. Next week, we welcome once again Dr. G to the show with another Tales from the Tale. I know, I miss him. I miss chatting with him. Also, this is really important. Trish and Tom worked hard to make sure we got there this year. The People's Choice Podcast Awards are here. Nominations are open. If you like or love, because we know you love it, our show, head on over to podcastawards.com to nominate your favorite LGBTQ show, Gay Talk 2.0.
That's right.
Hello, that's us. We welcome our newest Patreon sponsor, C. Thomas. Thank you for supporting our show.
It's amazing. And Christopher?
Can we put a rubber on this one,
do
please?
It, baby. Yeah.
Alrighty. As always, our show is available on our website, gaytalk20.com, under show and episodes. It is also available as a free download on iTunes, Google Play Music, and Stitcher Radio.
Nick announces, you can find us on social media. Facebook, Gaytalk 2.0. Instagram, Gaytalk 2.0. Twitter, at GayTalk20. You can email us at GayTalk2.0@gmail.com. Tom, take it away.
And if you need to reach out to us, let's try that again. If you need to reach out to us, just head on over to our website. Click on the Contact Us tab at the top of your web browser where you can leave comments, make suggestions, submit a question for the cast, and or submit a question for an individual host. You can also call us and leave us a question via voice message. You can do so by calling 334-GAY-TALK. And if you need those digits, it is 334-429-8255. Don't forget that we do stream live every Monday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and you can access that live stream by visiting digitalstreamradio.com. Ladies and gents, that is our show. Thank you, and y'all have a good night. Bye!
Thank you for listening to this episode of Gay Talk 2.0. Tune in next time for more dish.